grandma and grandpa spent lots of time on the beach exploring the tide pools, and that was just part of who they were and what they did.
Lifelong Sitkin Mary Purvis, Jack and Sasha Calvin's granddaughter.
I had a conversation with T. Cole once, and he said, you know, your grandpa used to really be in favor of progress and everything and was very involved in the, you know, getting the mill going and all this. And he says, I have a letter. And I thought about that afterwards, and I realized that probably that was very true, that grandpa had made an effort to get that going. But what happened was, because he ended up living on Thimbleberry Bay, he had his own laboratory. He knew what lived there. And then the mill came in and he watched it completely lose all of the life that had been there. And I think that, you know, Grandpa was seeing what was happening and started, and he was spending all this time out on the boat and seeing these clear cuts show up and hiking through them and seeing what was happening.
It was a little one.
It was a little boat and a slow boat. It wasn't a fast boat. And we went up there for, I guess it was a week in 1965. Mm-hmm. And people had been talking about what a great place it was, and we'd never been there before. We had heard about Peel's Passage and how that it really cut off a lot of the ocean voyage, and so we read the the Coast Pilot, and it said, it told you how to get into Peel's Passage, and then it said local knowledge is required. And so there we were sitting with all these rocks around it, but it was calm at least because we were inside.
Just inside of the entrance.
and we sat there, and then a seine boat came through it, through Peel's Passage towards us, and we followed its wake, and that's how we found out where you were supposed to go to in Peel's Passage. So that was great.
We started going up there with Jack. Jack was major proponent of educating the public, the Sierra Club, about the wonders that were available to us there. He was in trying to enlist support for saving some of it.
And, you know, in addition to the trips, we had expertise from people, conservationists from the Sierra Club and from other organizations to help us know what to do. And one of the first things that they told us was to never compromise on the size of the area that we proposed, that the compromising would be done in Congress when the bill was up for adoption. And so that was good work. In fact, we even made it a little bit bigger at one point. And one of the interesting things was that the Sitka Chamber of Commerce proposed an alternative to West Chichagof, and that was the South Baranof area. They thought that instead of West Chichagof, we could get South Baranof. Well, we got both. I thought it was going to take a lot longer than it did. It, you know, at first it seemed like it was such a good idea that it should happen right away, but then it dragged on and it dragged on. And
it was obviously going to be very slow.
More and more people are realizing how important it is. It's not, you know, it's not so much on the fringe anymore to talk about being, you know, a wilderness lover. I mean, you know, all kinds of people enjoy being out. And so I think it's become something that is, you know, people recognize more what it does for them and how important it is to take care of it.
Well, wilderness is well, that means to me to be just a totally undisturbed area, or as near it as possible. There isn't any undisturbed area.
It's contentment and awe and comfort, all those sorts of things that I feel.
You also feel pain and exhaustion and all types of things, but they're all beautiful.